WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively back out on the beat here this week, despite the fact that the football operations have shut down in Owings Mills for a couple of weeks. We're going to be out doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Thursday at Spirits West. That's over in Wilkins. I have some St. Joe folks over there and some St. Agnes friends right around the corner from where I used to get the shrimp salad at Kibbe's. So we're looking forward to getting a crab cake at Spirits West. That's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have Maryland Lottery scratch-off tickets to give away if I can find them here. I've been away a couple of days, so I gotta pull them out. There it is right there. I'll be giving these away on Thursday as well as our friends at Goodwill. I have my my fun Goodwill hat here. Can I put this over my eye and sort of hide my face? Luke Jones joins us now. He was not in the Win Donation floppy hat last week out in Owings Mills, but a sun-drenched practice session. All was well out there, except that their running back didn't show up, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, J.K. Dobbins showed up. He was in the building. Multiple reporters spotted him at different times over the course of the three-day minicamp, but he did not take part. And there had been some early indications in the week that maybe he was dealing with some kind of a soft tissue issue, as John Harbaugh likes to say, although he did not say that, but there were some reports about that. And, Dobbins did an interview with Mark Viviano and really alluded to strongly the idea of him being dissatisfied with his contract situation, which he has mentioned on Twitter before. And when John Harbaugh was asked about Dobbins' absence from the practice field over the course of the 3 days, he kind of gave it an answer of, I thought he'd be out there, but I guess it just wasn't in the cards. So, look, it is what it is from the standpoint of, I can understand J.K. Dobbins in a contract year and his plight, his angst, given what we see of the landscape of running backs in the NFL, with Dalvin Cook having been released recently being a prime example of that. But I'm just not sure what he can really expect at this point in time.
I mean, if I sat with him, what does he really believe? Like, I mean, is he on a different planet than everybody else?
He wants to get paid.
Based on?
Well, he wants to get paid based on the fact that he's averaged 6 yards a carry when he's been healthy. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to figure out what he wants. Now, the reality of that is, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, you're looking at how little he has played over the last 2 years and understanding it's all stemming from a major knee injury in the preseason finale a couple years ago. But if you're the Ravens, you want to see him put together a full, even if it's not 17 games, how about 15? You know, right? I mean, something that resembles a full season before you're going to commit. And then the question becomes, even then, how much are you willing to commit? Because we are seeing this time and time and time again. And, you know, the Aaron Schatzes of the world and football analytics people have told you for years that running backs don't matter. I don't necessarily subscribe to that mentality, but I will say this. I don't think running backs matter as much as offensive line play when it comes to your running game. Or in the case of the Ravens, the presence of Lamar Jackson as far as how important your running game is. So from that standpoint, even if you're the Ravens, and look, the Ravens like J.K. Dobbins. Again, look at the numbers. When he's been healthy, he's been fantastic. But that's a major caveat to begin with. And then, two, you look at it and say, okay, he's been really good, but how long will that continue? And I think that's where, if you're the Ravens, go back and look at Ray Rice, putting aside the legal domestic element to it of what happened. But Ray Rice was wildly productive over the course of his rookie contract. The Ravens franchised him. The Ravens gave him a long-term deal. And roughly a year into it, they didn't express this, but they absolutely had buyer's remorse. And that's even before what happened off the field that led to ultimately him being released. So I think, and you look at these situations with these running backs, and this isn't a Dobbins thing, even though the injury is another major variable to consider here, but you just look at so many different running backs and everyone that's paid a running back in recent years, what do they always say? Yeah, we get it that you really shouldn't pay running backs, but our guy's different. Carolina did that with Christian McCaffrey. The Cowboys did that with Ezekiel Elliott. You know, go down the list.
Using draft capital, put that in there too. Well, I remember when
the issue as much for me, because all of these individuals that we mentioned that we're talking about that end up getting paid,
Saquon Barkley. Put
they
him in
were
there.
Worth it. They were worth it from a draft pick standpoint. They lived up to their rookie contract and exceeded it. The problem is you get all that surplus value over the course of the rookie contract, and you know what you're doing when you pay a running back lucrative money? You are giving all that surplus value back, and all that value you gained over the course of that rookie contract, you are just handing that right back because you ultimately are going to pay a running back for most likely what he already did rather than what he's going to do over the course of that deal. So this is the reality of Dobbins or any running back at this point in time, and I think it's tough. Dennis and I have talked about this a lot. On his show of looking at running backs, even looking at their workload at the college level and how that factors in. And so many of these running backs just don't have a very long shelf life to be over the top, really, really good in terms of their production. Generally speaking, you pay them and a year or two later, you're saying probably shouldn't have done that. And then you're trying to get out of the deal. So if you're the Ravens from that perspective, even putting aside the knee for Dobbins, that's where you look at this and say, okay, we'd like to keep him. Sure. You know, I'm not opposed to the Ravens re-signing J.K. Dobbins, but what's the cost? You know, what's the realistic price it's going to be? I'm guessing it's probably a lot less than what he's asking for at this point in time.
And who's
going
to give him that money? The Lions?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you'll still find some teams that'll pay a running back, but yeah, you know, I feel like that's, you know, those teams are few and far between, and it's only getting worse for running backs. So I empathize with a Dobbins or with a Dalvin Cook or go down the list of all these different guys who've either been cast aside or cut after a couple of years, or in the case of McCaffrey, traded to San Francisco. But at the same time, you look at the production and say, you know, I don't think it's a good investment. You know, it's just one of those positions that for the most part, yeah, people right listening right now who are disagreeing will say Adrian Peterson or Frank Gore, those are outliers compared to what we're seeing be the norm in this day and age. And, you know, one thing that was a red flag for Ray Rice in his longevity, again, putting aside the off the field, was look how many carries he had at Rutgers. You know, he had, I think it was 900 carries at Rutgers over a 3-year period, something along those lines, a lot, a whole lot. And you look at that and you just say, that counts. You know, that's the tread on the tires. There's some wear there just before they even get to the NFL, let alone talking about playing out a full rookie contract and then extending someone. So in the case of Dobbins, it's going to be interesting to see how at least the start of training camp plays out. You know, he's entitled to do what he wants to do. He skipped OTAs and, you know, I guess maybe for lack of a better term, we don't know this for sure, but all signs point to this being kind of a hold in situation, not a hold out where he showed up, but basically said, you know, I'm not ready to practice or I'm not going to practice or whatever. Again, we're speculating here, but look, connecting all the dots, it looks and feels that way. So how is it going to play out? But if you're the Ravens, look, I'm not opposed to re-signing J.K. Dobbins, but what I'm giving him probably compared to what he wants is probably not even close at this point. So I think from that standpoint, if you're Dobbins, if you're his agent, come in and have a great training camp and get ready to have a great season because you
are
need
you
to do that.
Are you convinced he couldn't run last week? Are you convinced he had a tweak? Or are you convinced that this was contractual, which is –
Oh, my opinion on it is it was contractual.
Okay, fair
I don't
enough.
Know that, and he hasn't.
I'm not over
said
there standing
directly.
Out and looking into his eyes. You know what I mean? When I was out there this time last year, the last time I went to a practice, I'll never forget this. It was the last time I was ever out there. Right, Lamar was there. It was this week a year ago, and Dobbins was in the gym screaming at reporters, screaming at the field about how he wanted to get back out there, and you know, like all that. Here's where I am with him. And his agent, and when they get together and like, what is good behavior? What is bad behavior? What's going to get you what you want? I'm all lost on all this after the Lamarathon for a year and a half that he got everything he wanted and behaved in any way that he felt like he wanted to behave. Right. And didn't play in November, December, and still got paid. So Dobbins has seen all of this, and Dobbins has seen a $15 million rental wide receiver come in, and everybody's going to get thrown the ball except him. And in reality, he's going to be the mule, right? In reality, he might touch the ball more than any of them. And that might really be their plan, is to run him like a mule this year, because maybe he's healthy enough to be a mule this year and be a 1,400 yard back. And maybe Lamar only really runs 6 or 8 times a game instead of trying to set records and running into linebackers 21 times. I mean, I don't know, but I would think he thinks he's going to be a mule this year and be underpaid for it.
Well, I think he certainly wants. I mean, it was evident after the season-ending playoff loss at Cincinnati. I mean, if you recall at the time, J.K. Dobbins spoke in the post-game locker room and was not happy about how he was used in that game. So,
J.K. Dobbins is unhappy. He's always unhappy. If I'm Eric DaCosta, I would just say, well, he's unhappy. He's unhappy when he's playing, when he's not playing. He'll be unhappy when he goes plays for the Bears next year or wherever. Like, because that's it's absurd, dude, that we're sitting here this week talking about the running back not showing up, the running back who's been nothing but hurt. And I shake my head at all. I bristle at this. If I'm playing the columnist Nasty Nestor guy, I'm probably not being real nice to J.K. Dobbins right now and saying, get a grown up for an agent or get some better advice. But get in line and fall in line or you'll be out of line, you know, and I don't. If they can't rely on you, they're not going to give you the ball at all. And they brought all these other guys in to pass it around, and you haven't really been reliable, dude. Like, so well, he needs a tough talk is what he needs.
He does. I think you're being a little too harsh on the injury element. He suffered a terrible knee injury. I mean, this was an ACL.
I understand that, but you can't come back and just yell you want to be paid because you're a nice guy.
But you're framing it as though he's had hamstrings and all these different things like that. He's not been that guy. This all stems from a major injury.
He did everything he could do to get on the field. Like, I watched him half gallop when he probably shouldn't have been out there. I mean, I am not disputing his heart. But this technique that he thinks he's using, it doesn't smell good in any universe. There's no NFL team. There's no NFL fan. There's no NFL media person. There's no one with a Dobbins jersey that would say, well, let's just go pay him because he's a nice guy and because we're going to use him as a mule this year. And who even knows if he can be used as a mule? He's never been used. He's never proven anything in this league for me to think he's going to get paid. I mean, like, that's the part. You were negotiating for Lamar Jackson based on 2019, and you did that for 3 years here. You can't even do that with him.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I was just
That's
saying.
That's my rant. When I'm on vacation for a couple of days and the running back doesn't show up and the guy that runs their PR wouldn't let me in anyway to ask questions, I'm looking at this on the outside as a former PSL holder and saying, WTF? Like, come on, dude. I mean, the world has changed out there. You know what I mean? Like, just in a general sense. For how all of it's handled and watching it now from the outside, it's comical. It's comical. And I pay you to be there and ask questions, but it's like, really? This is your running back stance on June 15th when the season's getting ready to start? The running back has proven nothing and has everything to prove, and this year could go out and win a Super Bowl and then earn a paycheck. If he goes out and runs for 1,400 yards and they win 15 games and he's healthy and spiking the ball and scoring touchdowns in Cincinnati and dancing in the end zone January 18th beating Joe Burrow, now you got a guy that you got to give $20, $30, $40 million to maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where all the money's coming from because Lamar's going to have it all in the end. 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we're going to be talking about good players leaving because they're not going to be able to afford them.
Well, and that's certainly a massive element to this. But what you just said is he's going to be in line for that payday, whether it's with the Ravens or someone else at that point in time.
Well, Patrick Queen got on the boat, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the interesting juxtaposition here where Patrick Queen doesn't get the fifth-year option. The Ravens all but broadcast that they draft his replacement, you know, when they take Trenton Simpson in the third round. And obviously they paid Roquan Smith. Patrick Queen, look, is there some scenario where he winds up staying in Baltimore? Sure, but anything short of him having, you know, the scenarios for that are he has an injury-marred season, he doesn't have the best season, and he's suddenly not finding himself in high demand. If he has a strong season, and this is the same thing you just laid out with Dobbins, someone's paying him. It's not going to be the Ravens, but he'll get paid very handsomely, and the Ravens will say, hey, we'll take our fourth-round comp pick in 2025, I guess it would be.
But you know, but playing the Le'Veon Bell role when you're not Le'Veon Bell,
it's odd.
It just
No
speaks
question.
to him not having grown-ups around him. And
Well,
that's an issue for all of these people. I mean, for all these kids not having Chad Steele didn't have grown-ups around. So, like, I mean, from an integrity, accountability of the way things should be run and the way agents would tell players what to really expect and what to do and not do and be respected in a way that they could conduct business. Because this isn't good for J.K. Dot.
No.
I'm convinced Lamar's antics in general and his health and his demands and his style of play, some people would say his race, contributed. And I don't think that's the case with Arthur Blank or with Jim Irsay or with the suitors that all lined up to chase Deshaun Watson around. But there does come a point where, like, you want to the player to be the business he perceives himself to be. You know, I am a business, right? I'm a running back. I'm a brand. I'm all of that. Well, then be responsible to the people around you, fiduciary responsibility of your agent and different people to maximize your value by taking good advice. I can't imagine any legitimate agent saying to him, dude, don't go out there and practice this week and go bitch to the media and pull Viviano up and go say something cross-eyed to him and have Nestor and Luke make you the centerpiece of their conversation the week after minicamp. That's good for you, JK. I mean, that's where the grown-up part of this, it blew my mind to be away from it and watching it and thinking, if I'm in it, it's a bunch of adolescents who aren't being indoctrinated into, dude, you've been hurt. It's the NFL. It's not for long. Like, all these things you've been hearing, go out there and prove yourself like Queen's doing on the other. You don't have to look hard for examples around the game to say, go do this and then that good thing will happen for you. J.K. Dobbins isn't an is. He's still a might be.
Yeah.
Ray Rice was an is.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I mean, look, you look at the numbers and they're fantastic. I mean, you're having a guy who when he's been on the field has averaged a hair under 6 yards a carry. I mean, it's really impressive. But at the same time, it's still a relatively small sample size, especially over the last 2 years. So that is where it's tough. Look, if this were a case of Dobbins took part in minicamp and we were only talking about him skipping OTAs, I don't care about that. You know, that's plenty of guys, even on rookie contracts, when they get to the final year of their rookie deal, plenty of guys have skipped out on OTAs. It's really not the end of the world. And we've talked about that, how Lamar and quarterbacks are a special case there, but we've seen plenty of players in a contract year not show up for the voluntary part. But when you're there for mandatory minicamp, and again, he was in the building, let's be clear, let's be factual about this, but he wasn't taking part, and we don't know for sure. He did not state directly that he was holding in, so to speak.
You can't expect the coach to be honest when you ask him a question, can you?
Sure, sure. But that's where you look at this and say, yeah, it was that something? Think about it. Every time you skip something, every time you hold out, or every time you make a decision to participate in a certain element, you know, whether you're a franchise player, whether you're in your contract year, whether you're someone who's under contract and wants their deal redone, we see these situations all the time. It is a business, right? You always think about, okay, what can I do that's going to help me solve that problem? And for the life of me, I look at Dobbins and say, other than just the pure injury risk of being out on the field, but it's the same kind of risk you're going to take doing any of your workouts, you know, at home or across the country or in Owings Mills, whatever it is. Every time you do something physical, there's an injury element, right? We've seen guys get hurt just doing agility drills. We saw Terrell Suggs tear his Achilles playing basketball years ago, although tried to withhold the truth about that. But I just look at the situation and say, did J.K. Dobbins, if in fact this was truly all about his contract and he decided not to take part in minicamp, did he help his cause at all in getting his contract? No. No. And again, if it's as simple as him saying, I didn't want to risk injury being out there for a 3-day minicamp when it's not that consequential to the regular season, I'll hear that, I guess, to a point. But again, do I think it helped his cause at all as it pertains to negotiating with the Ravens? No, I don't, because I still think it comes down to this at the end of the day. And maybe this is where Dobbins privately says this with his agent or whoever's advising him and saying, look, there's no circumstance right now where they're giving me what I want before this season anyway. So I am going to make a business decision and not take part. And I'll show up, so I'm not going to get fined, but I'm not going to practice these 3 days. And if that's the case, fine. But ultimately, this is going to come back
well, that's
to
another thing where they tell these guys to go out and play on artificial turf in August in
sure.
these meaningless games, which is how he ripped his knee up to begin
sure.
with. So I'm sure he's got a lot of piss about him.
Well,
in the same
and that's
way I had piss about the bug that flew in my eye over the weekend and, you know, put me in a clinic. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's bad luck sucks. I mean, it does.
And again, you just mentioning that, I mean, that I think a lot of this does stem from that. He
It
played in
wrecked
the
his
preseason.
life. It wrecked his life. It really did.
So does he have some harsh, not even harsh, does he have some understandable, you know, anger about that? Probably. You know, I mean, he's hinted about it playing in the preseason and all that, but it still comes down to this is very simple for him. He needs to do whatever he can to have the best possible season in 2023. And that will help his cause, whether it's getting a big contract with the Ravens or identifying another team that's going to pay him. So really, it still boils down to that. Do I think this is a big deal in the big picture? Not really. Do I think it was a great look for him? Not really, because it does. All signs do point to this being something that was about his contract. And look, he made a business decision. He showed up so he wouldn't get fined, but didn't take the field with his teammates. You know, how's that going to be perceived? You know, that I guess that's a question for the locker room. But in the grand scheme of things, as long as he's there for the start of training camp and getting ready to have a great season, because, hey, the Ravens, I don't think they necessarily need him to be their bell cow, because they do have Gus Edwards and they still have Lamar, who's still going to run the ball at least some, even if it's not as much as it used to be.
You piss off everybody in the organization when you don't come and practice in June. I know how pissed Harbaugh was at Lamar last year because he sent me text that he was pissed.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the coaches don't, they work hard all night,
sure.
every day to have you come out and put you in a position to win. And when you're not there to help them, it pisses them off and they don't forget that.
And coaches, I mean, coaches always feel that way. So I only take that to a point, you know, what you say, I agree with, but it's to an extent because coaches
want
coach's
body, right?
They want everyone there for every single thing starting in April all the way through the end of the season. So that's just how coaches are wired. But I do think it's a little bit different when you're talking about, we've used Patrick Queen as a great example here, right? Similar position, same draft class, both of them entering the final year of their deal. Patrick Queen has been far more durable. He's been, you know, up and down his first couple of years, but coming off of his best season. So there is an example of guys are looking around. They're there for mandatory minicamp. All the veterans are out on the field taking part, and Dobbins isn't there. And look, if he truly did have a soft tissue injury, then fine. Yeah, of course you don't want to push it. But if it is a case where you're making much more of a business decision for something that's mandatory and all your teammates have to be out there, they'll take notice of that. Now, guys still respect each other. You know, they don't reach into someone else's wallet. They're not going to talk about someone else's money. They understand that. But at the same time, they say, wait a second here. I have to be out here. Why isn't he out here? So is there some of that that goes on? Sure. Do I think it creates this major rift in the locker room that's going to be a problem? No, I don't.
I don't think it's a locker room problem.
But I do think it's
agree.
A case of.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. But,
for
but
the
I just.
Coaches
it's
and
a bad
the,
look, though. Yeah.
And for the owner and for the general manager, for the scouts and for everybody that put into him, you know, if he's out there running the ball hard week one against Houston, fair enough. I mean, I think we all should expect that. But just doing it without the two this time of year where you make yourself the centerpiece of the story. Boy, we've done a half an hour on J.K. Dobbins. Yeah. Let's talk about the rest of the team in a minute. Luke Jones is here. We'll step out. We'll take a break. I want to come clean with Lamar. We haven't said Lamar's name other than hand the football off during minicamp. Luke's been around. He's at Baltimore, Luke. He's going to be monitoring all things Orioles this week. Obviously, Orioles home again this weekend against Seattle and in a real pennant race, which is going to make – you know, football, we might not be talking as much football around here the next couple of weeks, at least as we ramp up toward August 1st. We get an all-star game, we got a trading deadline, all that happened on the baseball side. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Thursday at Spirits West. We're going to be on the west side of town, right over there by Wilkins Avenue and St. Agnes, and where Frederick Road brings the mighty gales of Mount St. Joe together, having a delicious crab cake with Rick and the gang over there. So we're looking forward to that. That's 2 to 5 on Thursday. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at the Window Nation. 866 90 Nation. You buy two, you get two free, and you get 2 years, 0% financing if you act now. And bugs on my screens, bugs in my eyes. The whole, see, that's what I need, to stay in the house when I get Window Nation. I don't get bugs in my eyes. We're going to continue to talk some Ravens football around here, as well as some Orioles baseball. It is a, it's a fun summer to have all this to talk about and all this hope on both sides. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.